Stand by for the Joel Stein theme song in 3, 2, 1.
This is a show about a scrawny guy named Joel Stein. In real life, he writes for a magazine called Time. But now he's got his own cartoon show on VH1, in which he works for a TV show, a made-up one. But even though the show has got a standard sitcom feel, all the interviews with famous people are for real. Joel likes to ask him questions that'll make him squirm. Sometimes he gets punched out, but Joel never learns. Hey, Joel, what do you know? You got your own show. Try not to blow it, cause if you're not funny, then you soon be gone. Make it fill the time with some more Lenny Kravitz songs. Then you'll be back in obscurity where you belong.
And then they say, hey, Joel.
Hey, Joel.
It's the Joel Stein theme song. It's from a TV show of his. It was a cartoon show. It ran in Canada. It was summarily canceled, and now he has to write for a living. Joel, thanks for coming on again. How are you?
I'm so excited to be your first guest on your first day back.
Yeah, I guess technically you are. I didn't plan it that way, but...
I don't know if you need to say that.
I want that. Your Honor, I'd like to have that stricken from the records. It's an honor to have you on my show. But the timing works out because you have the cover story of Time Magazine. I guess the first question, it's about Snapchat. It's a really good piece. But I guess the first question is, do you get paid extra when you write the cover story versus another story or column? How does that work?
You know what? You're Bill and Wendy wouldn't have thought of that question. I think no one's ever asked me that.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I get paid the exact same amount as if it were like, you know, a toy review. Not that Time does toy reviews. But no, yeah, I don't get paid extra.
Well,
I'm angry.
I'm sorry I even brought it up then. So is it like you're a staff writer and you just get paid to write and they use it as is necessary? Or how does that work?
Well, everyone would think that. And that was true for most of my career. But when I quit like 11 years ago. So I'm technically a freelancer. So I get paid by the word.
I see.
Which is why you'll notice there's a lot of the's and ahs and ums in the story.
I noticed at the end you put the end in big letters the way we used to. We had to fill out a space on a high school or grade school term paper. It had to be two full pages.
And so
it really was. So Snapchat is fascinating for a couple of reasons. One, it's not a story about the president. I'm really happy about that. And then number two, it is different than Facebook and Twitter, and that was really the thrust of your piece. How is it different? What is Snapchat, and how is it different?
Well, for most people at this point, Facebook and Twitter and other social media are about, you know, projecting your brand and gathering followers and getting likes and broadcasting, really.
Yeah.
What Snapchat is, you can do some of that kind of there, although they are really good about not letting you gamify it by telling you how many followers you have, or, you know, you can't comment or like. But the main function is not to publish or broadcast. The main function is to visually text, to chat with your friends, like the name says. Instead of Snapshot, it's Snapchat. So instead of the main metric for a user of Snapchat isn't the amount of followers or likes, it's this the length of their streak with their friends, which is having a friend talk to you or chat with you once a day. So it's really a means of communication.
Well, what's the content of those? Because on Facebook, it's, hey, I'm having a great day or something like that. Sometimes it's very mundane. But
oh, this is more mundane. So Snapchat considers itself a camera company. So when you open Snapchat, you don't see a news feed. You just see a camera. And what you do is you take a picture of most likely yourself, but it could be something else. And then you can layer information on top of that by writing on it with your finger or by typing on top of it or putting stickers on it.
Right.
And it could be video or a photo. So it's a visual means of communication.
And is it one-on-one? Would I do it to everybody following me or would I just snap to you?
I'd say 90% of the use is just snapping to me, although you have a little section which Instagram has since copied called My Story,
right?
Which will last for 24 hours, and you can post things there that anyone can follow. But most of what you're doing is just sending something to another person, which they can look at once, and then it disappears forever.
Yeah, well, wasn't that the thrust of it originally, Joel? It was pictures
that... That's the thrust still.
All right, but weren't they also at least perceived to be dirty pictures at first, or there was a lot of that going on at first?
Yeah, I think almost whenever a new technology comes out, people use it first for pornography. And even more so, people like to talk about its use for pornography. So I think even at the beginning, when people were talking about it that way, it was a single-digit percentage use of it.
So
mostly, it's that if you're like a 13-year-old girl, all of your energy and fear and anxiety is about your Instagram account. It's about if people like this picture that you put up and what their comments are, and making yourself perfect. And there's so much anxiety that teenage kids right now, their depression rates are up, their suicide rates are up. And a lot of girls have a Finstagram account, which is a second or fake Instagram account in which they can just kind of be themselves and only their friends know about it.
Huh.
So Snapchat is a way for you not to have to project perfection to all your teen friends.
Well, what you just said notwithstanding, I mean, you just said they're very anxious about, are people liking the pictures that they posted? And that's, I thought, part of the problem with Facebook. It becomes almost fake because people are so trying to project, hey, everything. Everybody gets depressed reading everybody else's fun times they're having on Facebook. Instagram is somehow different than that, Joel?
Worse. No, I think it's just like that. It's like this perfect piece of food I just ate and this perfect, I think everyone's probably still on a boat, right?
Yeah.
I've noticed on Snapchat, by the way, even though you're just snapping each other, the equivalent to being on a boat is at the airport. Like, if you are at an airport, apparently you have to snap it. Because there are these filters that geotag you so it can say where you are.
Uh-huh.
People are, even like powerful people, like senators, and are very impressed that they're at an airport. It's very strange.
All right, and I misspoke just now, but Snapchat is not like that. It doesn't seem to generate that sort of anxiety or that need to project something, huh?
No, because it disappears, right? So you're comfortable. Like, look, I'm not on a boat. I'm just sitting here watching TV, and you take a picture of yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, as a man who lives in front of a keyboard, you're a wordsmith, among other things, Joel.
Oh, yeah. Words are dead.
Well, you're all right. You're anticipating my question. Does it bother you a little bit that this is a hot means of communication among the next generation?
Yeah. I mean, I think between Gutenberg and now, we had a good run. probably before that, actually, right? Because, I mean, when people were far apart from each other, they had to communicate by letter. So, yeah, I think by nature, people like to talk and express themselves through body language. So it doesn't surprise me that I'm getting my butt kicked by people who don't want to type. You know, the emoticon was the first step. And now,
you know, it was. You know, and I don't like emoticons.
Horrifying.
I don't know why. I mean, this is one of the things I would change about myself, because I know I sound like I'm a troglodyte or a Neanderthal or something here.
Just old.
Yeah. I never use the colon and the open or close parentheses to express an emotion. I would type out, I'm happy or I'm sad. And I don't know why I'm so belligerent about
it. I have a little picture there for you.
I know that, Joel. I'm trying to tell you, though, that I don't like that. And I feel like...
No, me neither. Yeah.
It's kind of the end of the interview then, I guess. We're sort of stuck in that spot.
No, I still respect you.
No, but I want to be on the bus. I just don't like the direction it's going. So there I am saying, well, you kids get off my lawn and use the Queen's English or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, but I'm not a visual person in general. So I like text. I mean, that's why I became a writer. So I think I'm just in the minority.
Well, I think the problem I have, too, or at least it sounds like I have, is that there's this air of superiority. And I don't mean that way. I literally mean I just feel like I'm being left out. And maybe I shouldn't.
You're a member of the elite.
Would you stop? Maybe I should stop judging that kind of communication. Snapchat we're talking about with Joel Stein, who's got the cover story in Time magazine. I mean, it does take a certain skill set or maybe creative eye, Joel, to be a good Snapchat communicator.
Definitely. And at the same time, it is also true that people are becoming dumber. These are not separate things. You know, that said, I understand that visually texting can communicate a lot more information than a regular text. And I'm not so impressed by the writing in regular text, so I'm not so upset about it.
No.
But yes, on a separate level, people are becoming idiots.
Anything else on that happy note? Anything else that you have to pass along to us about the Snapchat phenomenon? It skews younger. The guy,
very young.
You wrote about the guy who created this. He and a partner, but he was offered $3 billion at the age of 23 for the company from Facebook. $3 billion. If I ever come home and one of my sons says, "Dad, Facebook offered me $3 billion," and I said no, they are in so much trouble. He says no to them. Then they do an IPO, or as I called it to my son the other day, an IPA. And and they're offered the valuation starts at $24 billion. What do they guess Snap, the parent company, is worth now?
North of 30 since the trading. But I think he turned down the $3 billion not because he thought he'd get 30 someday. He turned down the $3 billion because he was a 23-year-old kid who grew up rich and realized this was his chance to run a huge company and affect society. So I don't think if Facebook had offered him $30 billion, he would have taken it. I mean, he may have been forced to by his investors.
Yeah.
But he wanted to run a company. He knew that he was going to have enough money to live on the rest of his life between his dad and just the fact that he, you know, was a computer science developer. He was a product guy from Stanford and had started a company. He wasn't worried about money.
Right.
He was smart enough to know that, like, being a billionaire isn't any better than being, like, a 10-millionaire.
Right.
Doesn't really affect your life.
Yeah.
He wanted to, like, be able to call anyone in the world and meet with them. Like, he wanted that power.
All right, last question then. Just philosophically, is the world better or worse then for us having Snapchat?
I think better. I mean, I think Facebook is a real mess right now between fake news and people just yelling at each other. And, you know, you go on there to see, you know, find out when your friends' birthdays are. It's like a utility that no one enjoys. So I feel like this really lowers people's anxiety about projecting their brands, which is something I hate, their personal brands, even though I have one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
once people told me I did, I got mad at myself. So yeah, I think this is definitely an improvement.
I'll call you another day, Joel. Keep writing, even though you didn't get paid extra for the cover story, but it's a really good story.
I should get more.
Oh, yeah. Listen, next time, that's your assignment. Next time we talk, Joel, I want you to go, "John, I've been thinking about what you said, and now I'm getting paid a bonus for being the cover story in time."
Do I get paid for this interview?
Got to run, Joel.
All right, bye.
It's Joel Stein from Time Magazine.